WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:08, and today is Tuesday. It's June 7th, 2016. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell, and welcome to another business day. Lots to talk about this morning. The aftermath of Janet Yellen's speech yesterday. Not all doom and gloom. As a matter of fact, the positive notes this morning from that. And we'll begin on the WGN Market Desk with global intel from what's happening around the world on the markets. All of the markets, believe it or not, this morning are higher in Europe and Asia. And in a big way, too, in Europe, most of the indices are up almost 1%. And in some cases, like the DAX in Germany, almost 1.5% this morning. Also in Asia, the Nikkei up almost 1%. At up 95, the Hang Seng, all of the markets in Asia doing well, all of the arrows pointing up, including the Dow futures this morning pointing up 60 points, the S&P, NASDAQ futures also pointing higher. Apparently, markets like what they heard yesterday from Janet Yellen about taking a slower approach to interest rates. She spoke yesterday in Philadelphia, says a rate hike is still very much in the cards, but hasn't spelled out specifics of just when that might happen.
With labor market conditions strengthening and inflation making progress toward our 2% objective, as I expect, further gradual increases in the federal funds rate are likely to be appropriate.
The Federal Reserve meets next week. It is unlikely that they will take a vote to raise interest rates then. One of the other major factors in the going here is Brexit, the UK's upcoming vote on leaving the European Union. By the way, a new poll this morning shows that the supporters of staying in are now leading. It's been going back and forth over the last few days, but that's going to play in to the central bank's decision. Russell Investment Group, Stephen Wood on Janet Yellen's comments yesterday.
I think the Federal Reserve is still on course. The chair's comments today were that the labor market is volatile and not to read too much into the data that we saw.
Speaking on Reuters yesterday about the decision by, or at least the comments by, the Federal Reserve. She is, by the way, Janet Yellen's comments yesterday, the last that we'll hear before the Federal Reserve meets next week. It's going to be a slow day ahead today. A couple of major economic reports due out from the federal government. The Labor Department releases the first quarter productivity data this morning. Federal Reserve has consumer credit data for April later on this afternoon. Documents obtained by the Associated Press show a deal to keep agribusiness giant Cargill in Wichita includes nearly $10 million in tax breaks over a 10-year period from state and local government entities. Also in St. Louis, government leaders are meeting to formulate plans on possibly losing Monsanto. You know, Monsanto has been bought, or they're going to be bought by a German company, possibly moving operations there. Also, we're learning today more than 40% of Tribune Publishing shareholders withheld support for each of the directors up for election, including the chairman, Michael Farrow. The final results filed Monday with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The vote took place at Tribune Publishing's annual meeting Thursday in Los Angeles, which was closed to the press. A full 8-person slate of the company was nominated and elected to lead Tribune Publishing. Well, how would you like some secrets to do better in life, productivity, be more productive in life and business? So you probably get into the office first thing in the morning. And if you're not really organized, you might not know what to do, or you might be doing the wrong things. There's a New York Times best-selling book out called Smarter, Faster, Better. Charles Duhigg is the author. He's also a New York Times investigative reporter. And he's with us this morning on The Opening Bell. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I loved your book, by the way, and so we went out of our way to get you on because I think you bring up some really good ideas and some points, because I think we all need to be smarter, faster, and better. What is the takeaway from your book? What would you like people to leave with?
Well, the biggest insight is that when we look at the research behind why some people and companies are more productive than others, it's not because they work harder or they make bigger sacrifices. It's because they've trained themselves to think differently. And in particular, they've built these routines into their days that allow themselves to think just a little bit harder, even just half an inch deeper, about things like setting goals or remaining focused on priorities, on sharpening their focus. And once they're able to do that, it gives them a huge advantage over everyone else, because it turns out throughout history that thinking more deeply is really the thing that sets the most productive people apart. But you really have to understand how your brain works a little bit to know how to push yourself to set better goals and think more deeply about what you ought to be doing.
What do you think are the biggest reasons why people don't do that? Is it the culture of their company that prevents them? Do they come in scared to work every day that they have to toe a company line?
Well, I think for many years, in fact, for hundreds of years, until about 3 or 4 decades ago, being busy and being productive were often the same thing, right? If you worked on an assembly line, if you worked at most mainstream companies and you were busy every single day, you were getting stuff done. But in the last 30 years in particular, as the digital revolution has really taken hold, the nature of productivity has changed. And now we could spend our entire days replying to emails, come home from work, and not really have gotten anything important done. And so that's the biggest thing, is that people are very busy now, but realizing the distinction between being busy and being productive is a little bit harder. And so oftentimes we need someone to help us understand or pay attention to what really matters. What's the most important priorities in getting the most important things done?
Our conversation this morning with Charles Duhigg, the author of a new book out in March, actually, called Smart, Faster, Better, The Secrets to Being Productive in Life and Business. We'll continue our chat.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program, 520. We're talking this morning with Charles Duhigg, the Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter for The New York Times, author of a new book called Smarter, Faster, Better, Secrets to Being Productive in Life and Business. And Charles, I mean, you know, the interesting thing that I thought about as I was reading this book was, this goes through so many different possibilities of work. There's a mention of a pilot, the Disney people putting together their movies. The ideas that you put forth kind of spread across all areas of our life and work.
Well, that's exactly right, because one of the things that we know is that productivity is this thing that can touch all areas of our life. I mean, you mentioned the story from Disney, and one of my favorite stories is about the making of the movie Frozen. And what Disney knows about innovation is that you can make innovation and creativity more productive if you view it as a process, not as something that artists can do, but instead something that anyone can do if they learn the right process. And in fact, that's how they made Frozen. Everyone knows Frozen as this blockbuster movie. What most people don't know is that it was on the brink of catastrophe until just weeks before it appeared in theaters. But this is kind of the basic insight, is that once you learn how productivity works, you can share it with almost anyone. You can take someone who's a low-level cartoonist or even an accountant at Disney, and you can help make them into a creative genius if you understand how to make things like innovation into a process rather than waiting for a gift to occur. Then it allows us to be more productive when it comes to almost any question.
And, you know, I'm not a CEO. I just kind of report on business here, but these seem like very basic principles that you would think that every company, every aspect of our lives would encourage. And surprisingly, it doesn't happen. And so we still need books like yours and, you know, the Carnegie books and all that. Why is it that companies aren't catching on to this and being more encouraging?
Well, we're living through an economic revolution right now that's as profound as the agrarian or industrial revolution. And so as a result, what that means is that some skills become disproportionately important. And so you're exactly right that nobody would ever say, oh, focus is important, or I shouldn't spend time thinking about innovation. But the actual principles of how to implement that, how to make that become real, is really hard. And take, for instance, there's a chapter on the science and neurology of self-motivation, and it looks at how the Marine Corps reformed how it trains recruits in order to help them learn what's known as a bias towards action by pushing them to make more choices, to ask themselves why on a regular basis. You know, I think most of us would think about the military and the Marine Corps as a place where you're supposed to learn discipline and obedience. But this insight that by pushing people to make choices, to take control, to instead of just following orders, try and assert themselves and find opportunities to do so, in retrospect, that makes a lot of sense. But on the surface of it, that's sort of an interesting concept, right? That we don't want people in the military just to learn how to be obedient. And yet this is the important insight, is that we are learning things about neurology, we're learning things about the brain right now to give us this completely different look into how human behavior unfolds. And by sharing that with people, it's only once you hear the idea that it becomes obvious that oftentimes we need people to help push us to see that, in fact, we know things now that we didn't 20 years ago. We know things now that our parents didn't. And although self-motivation has existed for centuries, we now know how to teach it in ways that just make it much more effective. And that's why these ideas are worth sharing.
And as I read the book, one of the things that struck me, too, as I got halfway through it was, you know, a lot of the flashbulb moments in people when they turn around is during a crisis. And is there something with, the mentality of that is, can be replicated in a non-crisis situation?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we do is when we're telling stories, it's much easier to take a crisis moment and share it. And it sort of illustrates or puts into stark relief an idea. But the point is to try and learn these insights without having to experience a crisis yourself, right? One of the things that's interesting, there's a story in the book about the FBI and a kidnapping that was solved by relying on principles that we now refer to as lean and agile management philosophies. The FBI reformed itself to push decision-making down to lower-level field agents. And it took a real crisis moment for the FBI as an institution to really embrace this philosophy. But the point is that most of us don't deal with kidnappings and we don't deal with life-or-death situations. But by looking to the examples set by these large organizations, as they go through a period of change, we can adopt those same principles of change ourselves without having to hopefully experience quite so much upheaval.
We have about a minute or so left, but I'm struck because after putting down the book, I thought, I wonder if this is why the Ubers and this shared economy and people are moving to these sort of jobs where they have more ability to creative. Do you think that to be creative, is that a possibility?
Oh, absolutely. But the other thing that's happening is that it used to be that we lived in a world where you worked for one company, you had a boss who told you what to do every day, and you didn't have to think that much about how you manage your own career. And unfortunately, that economy is over. We now live in an economy where at least half of Americans today are essentially independent contractors, or they work for themselves, or they're entrepreneurs, and they have to decide each morning, how am I going to spend today? What's the most valuable use of my time? We could all spend our time being busy every minute of each day and not get the important things done. So the difference between the people who succeed in today's economy and those who don't are the ones who learn how to train their mind to do a better job of choosing the right goals and remaining focused on them, on sharpening their sense of purpose, on figuring out how to be creative on demand, on figuring out how to manage others, how to work with teams. We are living in an age where we now understand how all that can be done from a scientific perspective. And the point of Smarter, Faster, Better is to share with people, these are the ideas that help you become successful, because you can't rely on success just coming to you without yourself being an active participant in making it real.
Charles Duhigg, a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter for the New York Times, also author of Smarter, Faster, Better, The Secrets of Being Productive in Life and Business, published by Random House. Charles, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Again, pick up the book and have another cup of coffee and follow some of these tips. Very good stuff. Best book I've read in weeks. It is 5:27 on the opening bell. Let's head to the newsroom. Vic Vaughn standing by with what's coming up. Vic?
Well, it's primary election day in several states today, the final Super Tuesday, Steve. A report out says Hillary Clinton's already won enough delegates to clinch. The Sanders campaign saying not so fast. We'll give you that latest report coming up.
All right, Vic. It's 5:27 on the opening bell.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everybody. It's 5:38. Welcome back to the opening bell. This portion is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. In Chicago today, the Chamber of Commerce holds its 112th annual meeting. The Steve Cochran Show, by the way, will be there live this morning. The Tyree Award will also be announced. It's given annually to a fast-growing Chicago business with philanthropic values. Includes a big cash award, courtesy of Mesereau Financial and the Private Bank. We here on the opening bell have been talking with the finalists for this award. There are only a handful of them, and the final interview is this morning, and couldn't be a better one. We've actually had Steve Dime on before, Flowers for Dreams. Steve, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Good morning. I'm excited to be back. Excited for this award.
We're excited for you. And, you know, when you think of philanthropic values and Chicago business, Flowers for Dreams has to be on your top of the list. Give us, for those of our listeners who may not be familiar with your company, tell us what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We sell locally crafted flowers right here in Chicago for what we say fair and honest prices. Our bouquets are $35 with free delivery everywhere in the city, and it's often done by bicycle. And then the philanthropic piece, and I think why we're being very considered highly for this award, is every single bouquet benefits an amazing local charity. We give a quarter of our profits to a different charity each month. And so far in our few years in business, that's yielded around $150,000, all from the sale of flowers.
It blows my mind that, first of all, that there's that high of a contribution, but also the fact that flowers are the root of all of this. I mean, if you get flowers and don't smile and it doesn't brighten your day, there's something wrong with you. Right.
I feel similarly. Yeah.
So there's also a little bit of breaking news today with your company. For the first time in many, many years, as long as I can remember, there's going to be a flower truck, sort of like a food truck. So tell us about what's happening.
Yeah, well, that's about the most exciting thing we've got going on in the summer. I think everyone's excited about it. Our fans are excited about it. The city of Chicago has really embraced it. So in 1943, the Chicago City Council passed a ban on peddling flowers. So it actually predates even the food truck ban, and now it was lifted after the food truck ban was lifted. So it's been on the books 70-some years. We worked really hard, kind of pounding the pavement to get people rallied around changing that so flowers could be on the street and there could be more open competition. The same argument for food trucks. And this past month, it was introduced in city council and it was lifted. It was repealed. And now we have a flower truck, the first ever known flower truck in the city of Chicago. We've been on the streets 3 weeks selling flowers in every neighborhood at many festivals. And we're really thrilled about it.
What in the world would ever inspire the city council to ban the peddling of flowers?
It's a pretty interesting story. Well, there was a gentleman who had run a pretty well-known flower shop on the south side called Duffy's Florals. They also, that's the namesake of the first ever professional basketball team in the city of Chicago, which is interesting. So this guy was fairly successful, and you know, he didn't want necessarily competition from street peddlers in front of his shops. He also happened to be an alderman in the city council. There were some other interesting ties the guy had in the 30s, and with his influence, he was able to pass his bill without a lot of fanfare, and it stayed on the books for, you know, almost a century.
And it's really, really kind of funny because if you walk around any street in Europe, there's flowers on every corner, and in other big cities the same way.
Exactly. And we just, again, it's unlike food, which I think in many instances has to be regulated to certain degrees for public health. You know, I think flowers much less so, and we should have them as accessible and as available as possible. And that's the whole premise of our business.
So what should we be looking out for this truck? Is it social media inspired? Do you tweet your locations every day, social media your locations? And what does the truck look like?
Yeah, exactly right. Follow us on Snapchat and Twitter. Snapchat is probably our biggest medium right now, believe it or not. So we give real-time updates as to where we are. The truck was a former U.S. Postal Service truck from the 90s. We retrofitted it into a custom flower workshop on wheels. And actually, the Chicago Tribune just did a whole story with many pictures on it yesterday. I believe it'll be in print today, but it's online at thechicagotribune.com. You can read all about the story, what it looks like, and what it sells.
Did I read correctly that the driver of the truck, the person, wears a flower crown?
Yes, that's right.
What is that?
It's about setting the scene. It's about setting the scene. We want to make sure that the experience is inspiring for everybody.
Now, do you have enough flowers to go? I mean, I would imagine this is very hot. How quickly do you sell out with flowers when you hit a neighborhood?
You know, it's kind of hit or miss. I think the biggest piece is it's another touch point for our company. You know, when we started, we're an online-only service. We're based in Westtown, but we don't have a traditional retail shop. In fact, we're kind of the antithesis of that. So this is our ability to be retail without really being retail. And our fans, you said it best when you said, how do we use it, social media? And that's really the best part about it is we're able to use social media to connect with our customers and new people offline. And the truck is is unique. Obviously, it's the first of its kind. We think we did a pretty neat job retrofitting it. So it's much more about the branding, that touch point, than it is per se about sales.
When we talked to you last, it was the dead of winter and it was freezing cold outside. And we were talking about, you know, how you get locally sourced flowers in during the winter. Now that it's springtime and summertime, it just must be blooming everywhere. Tell us about the offerings. You just must have everything coming in this time of year.
Yeah, you know, it's an exciting thing about what's going on, I think, in the economy now. We think we're on the forefront of this craft flower movement, the same things that's happened to craft beer and craft coffee. We think we're kind of starting it in our industry. And there are so many kind of similar with that. There are a lot of people that are getting into the local sourcing business and starting farms and investing in local farms. So they actually just signed on 2 new local farm partners. I'd love to shout them out. We have one Bright Flower Farm and Petals Farm there in Huntley and Stockton, Illinois. We also are continuing to support the Cook County Jail's farm. We were the first ever purchaser of flowers at the Cook County Jail. It's a rehabilitative program for prisoners, and we're really excited to support it again. So we're really excited about the summer, as we always are, because we have all this access to local product. So it's going to be really fun. I think it's a good thing for the industry.
Tell me about the significance of being nominated, being one of the finalists for the Tyree Award. What does it mean to you, and how important is it?
Well, you know, what I know from James Tyree, and it's not someone I'd met ever before, is, first of all, it's amazing that he would have endowed this kind of both the sentiment and the money to give a younger impact entrepreneur in Chicago the capital to grow. So I'm very kind of humbled that exists. I think it says something a lot about what the priorities of the Chicago community, particularly in Mesereau Financial, where he was from, and the Chamber of Commerce, which has embraced it. So for us to kind of get that validation, it's one of the only, I think, impact awards for startups in Chicago. And in fact, it's the only one I know personally, especially of that size. So to get that validation that we're really not only a great impact company with high potential, but that we're kind of leading the way would be amazing. So I'm crossing my fingers.
You have some tough competition. Eileen Murphy over at Think Circa, and also Sophie Evanoff at Vinnie. All of these, including your company, are doing big things for the community. How do you keep that momentum going on a daily basis? Because, you know, even with this flower truck thing, it was just the opposition to the peddling aspect of it from all of the traditional brick and mortar places. It must be tough being in this, you know, innovative space.
Well, you know, we are not a business that was created to really appeal to or to be liked by the brick and mortar florists, the traditional florists. And we have many friends there, and we're certainly fans of them. But really, we designed our business, and we think all businesses should do, around the customer, what the customer wanted. So we're not as interested whether or not the brick and mortar florists like our every move. They're probably not, because change is difficult, and doing things differently is not always that popular from within the industry. But the people are responding to it. And, you know, we've sold tens of thousands, almost 100,000 bouquets since we started. We've contributed $150,000 to local charity, all through the sale of our flowers. So I think that's the validation from the people is most important. And they're the ones who really embrace the idea that they can have these flower trucks. And I hope by next summer, there's going to be more flower carts and more flower trucks. So again, they can be more accessible for everybody to enjoy flowers. It's a simple gift. And we think everybody should be able to pick them up wherever, whenever, for an inexpensive price.
And I don't want to push, because I know you're just expanding with the truck, but are we going to see more flowers for dreams on the street corners?
Well, I don't think we're going to expand necessarily our retail presence here in Chicago, but we do have plans to expand outside Chicago into other major metros. And currently, we've already expanded our service area, so you can order a Flowers for Dreams bouquet for delivery anywhere in Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana, and even almost Southern Wisconsin right now. So it's a big service area. It'll continue to expand so long as it's always by hand.
Steve Dime, the CEO, president, founder of Flowers for Dreams in Chicago. You can find them online, flowersfordreams.com, on Twitter at flowers4dreams. Steve, congratulations on the Tyree finalist nomination, and good luck today.
Thanks for having me back, Steve.
Steve Dime of Flowers for Dreams. Again, the 112th annual meeting of the Chicago Chamber later today at the Hyatt Regency in Chicago. The James Tyree Award will be announced then. And the Steve Cochran Show is there this morning, so we'll have coverage of it throughout the morning.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 551 on the WGN Market Desk. Numbers on the stock futures show the S&P is actually stretching for a record today. All of the markets are higher today, and I mean all of them generally around the world. Dow futures pointing toward a higher open on Wall Street later this morning, up 56. The S&P and NASDAQ higher as well. Let's get the latest on commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Steve, good morning. And we begin our report this morning with a quick review of the weekly crop progress reports issued yesterday afternoon by the Department of Agriculture. Corn planting, 98% complete. And the corn condition is 75% good to excellent. Iowa with 80% good to excellent. And Illinois, 76%. Indiana, 72%. Wisconsin, 86% good to excellent. Soybean planting nationally, 83% of the soybean acres have been planted. 81% Illinois, 82% Indiana, 94% in Iowa. And conditions of the soybean crop nationally, 72% good to excellent, with Iowa showing 80%. Yesterday, we had a higher opening in cattle trade at the Mercantile Exchange, and then profit-taking and fund selling took over. And August live cattle, end of the day, down $1.70 a hundredweight. August feeder cattle down $2.15. Grain trade yesterday, weather concerns in Europe and in South America, too wet in those places and maybe too dry here in the U.S., so prices moved higher. July wheat up 9 3/4. July corn up 9 cents a bushel. July soybeans up 7 cents a bushel. A reminder, tomorrow the 3-day World Pork Expo begins at the Iowa State Fairgrounds in Des Moines. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Again, we want to recap a couple of the big stories we'll be following this morning. Obviously, the aftermath of the Federal Reserve Chairman's speech yesterday seems to be positive. All of the markets higher today. We'll be also watching for the couple of economic reports out today, including the Labor Department's quarterly productivity data, Federal Reserve consumer credit data as well. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning here on 720 WGN through the Steve Cochran Show, which is again live at the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce annual meeting today, the James Tyree Awards a little bit later on. Stay with us. We'll be back bright and early also tomorrow morning for another edition of the Opening Bell at 5 o'clock. Hopefully we'll see you then. And you have a great day. It's 5:54.